Beginning current daf, Masech the Baba Basa daf Kuf Chav Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Kuf Chavav Amud Beis. Four lines up on the bottom of the Amud. With the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf, which was discussing the halachas of Bechair regarding this topic of this parak of Yeshneichin regarding the laws of inheritance. How does the role of the Bechair, the firstborn, who he gets Pishnayim, a double portion, fit in? So Amr Bama, he says, a firstborn that's born as a tumtum is an individual that is not recognizable if he's male or female, where his genital area is covered up with skin, so you can't tell what he is, if he's male or female. Now, at a later point in time, however, that skin that's covering over was torn off, and it was discovered that he is male, meaning that his male member and his testicles were concealed in his body, and now you can tell that he's a male, which is an added chiddush, where even though ultimately we find out that he's a male, and for sure this halacha that we're about to say applies to an androgynous, and the androgynous who there's no there, that the that doubt will never be verified because that androgynous has both male and female characteristics, but a tumtum who is concealed, but later on it was revealed that he's a male, still says Rabbami ain't an oikel pishnayim unless that it was from the get go clear that he was a male, which is not the case by either Tumtum or Androgynous, he's not going to take a double portion. Why? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says by the Halachas of Bechairam, it says, V'hoyah ha-ben ha-bechair lasnia, that if it's going to be that the firstborn son is the child of the hated wife, and then there's a beloved wife, still you have to give it to the firstborn child, even if it's from the hated wife. Now the word V'hoyah is superfluous. What do you mean, V'hoyah ha-bechair? What is the Pasuk coming to tell us over here that we don't know otherwise? Says Rabbam, he's coming to teach you, Achihi ben mishas havaya. The word Vahayi is coming to teach, which relates to the word Havaya, which is the word of existence, which is the same as Hashem's Yudke Vavke name, which is the term of Havaya. He creates all existence. It's telling you that Vahayi ha ben, that this child that's the firstborn has to be Vahayi, has to be the ben, the firstborn, from the moment that he was born, which is not the case when he's a tumtum, and for sure not by androgynous, where you didn't know at the time that he was born that he is the firstborn son. Adding on to this halacha, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amri says, "Af einan nidin keben seirim mayra." We're going to say other exceptions to laws regarding that would apply to an individual that's a male, where in this case, if he's the firstborn male, he should be getting the double portion. If he's a tumtum, that only later is revealed that he's male, will not get. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says he's not going to get the law of ben seirim mayra, where there's the Torah talks about a wayward son that does certain things that he gets stoned. So this individual will not get those laws of ben seirim mayra. Why? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Ki yeh le'ish ben seirim mayra, if there's going to be that for a man will have a child that's wayward and rebellious, which he gets a certain punishment, which teaches us, Achihei ben mishas havaya, he has to be a son from the moment that he's yiyah, when he is born, which is not the case by a tumtum that only later was revealed from the time that he was born. You didn't know he might have been a daughter, not a son. So he does not have the loch of ben seirim mayra. So to continue on top of Chav Zayin Min Av, Meimor Amar, this tumtum also that was later torn and then revealed to be that he was male, if he himself is not a firstborn, he's just one of the other brothers, he will not diminish the portion of the bechaira from the bechaira. So for example, let's say all the father's assets are 9 portions. And there are 3 sons. There's the firstborn, the bechaira, a regular brother, and this tumtum. So what the procedure is that they split up the father's estate into 3 different portions as if this tumtum was not here, as if there was only the firstborn and that other brother. So if you do that, you take the 9 portions, comes out that the firstborn would be getting 6 portions out of the 9, which that's a ratio of 2-1 because the Bukhari takes a double portion more than the other regular brother. So it comes out that the extra portion of the Bukhari is 3 portions. Now, so regarding the portion of the Bechair, it's as if that tumtum is non-existent, but not for the rest. So what you do is you give 3 automatically to the firstborn. Then you go and you redivide the 6 remaining ones between all the 3 of them. So it would come out that the Bechair is going to take 5 portions because he gets 3 of the Bechair. Then the remaining 6 are split equally amongst all the brothers, so he gets another 2. And the tumtum and the Pashid, the regular brother, they each take 2 portions because if this tumtum shenikra, and that which ultimately was found to be a zachar, who, yeah, he's a male, so he gets to get the inheritance, if he would be diminishing from the portion of the bechor too, just like he's diminishing by the regular inheritance, then the bechor would only take 4.5 portions, which would be double each one of those brothers, the one that's the regular and the one that's the tumtum. Now, the reason for this halacha is because although that this tumtum, which ultimately is found out to be a male son, does not diminish by the portion of the bechor, but he does diminish by the portion of the regular inheritance of all the brothers. Now, he is ultimately a son, so why does he not diminish the portion of the bechor, as he does diminish by the regular inheritance, where he gets an equal share in the inheritance? Shneimer, because the pasuk says in there in Devarim regarding the parasha bechor, it says ve'yoldu levanim, it talks about the beloved wife and the hated wife, and they're going to give birth to him children. Then the pasuk says v'hoya ben bechor, so then the firstborn gets a double portion. What that teaches us is that the brothers that he has to contend with are only Achihei ben b'shas leida, only if he's a son, v'yoldu loibanim, only if he's a son at the time of that he's born. Then the bechor has to go ahead and divide with them, correlating his portion of the bechor, which they're going to diminish from him as his portion of the bechor, because that's what the pasuk is saying. Correlating to these sons that are sons from the moment that they're born, there is what you'll have to figure out, the portion of the bechor, which how big it is. Because that's what it's saying, whereas a tumtum that is not calculated, where he's not going to have to take away from his portion of the bechor correlating to that tumtum. Yes, the rest, of course, his son is going to be an equal share, but the portion of the bechor, that's only b'yoldu lebanim if he was a ben at the time of his leida, which was not clear at the time of the birth of the tumtum. Rav Shizvi Amis says another halacha regarding this tumtum shenikra ve'achkach nimtza zachar. Af einen nima l'shmeina. He also does not get circumcised on the eighth day, meaning if it's on Shabbos, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kof Lamed Beis Amin Aleph, it says Ubayyom Hashmini, that Ubayyom tells us that on the eighth day, even if it's Shabbos, you do the Bris Milah. That does not apply to this Tumtum. Even if we find out that he's a Zachar by day eight, we're not going to do the Bris Milah on Shabbos. Why? Because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, Meyikra Isha Ki Sazriya V'yoldo Zachar, a woman is going to emit seed, and she's going to go ahead and give birth to a male son. So the pasuk then continues later on. On the eighth day, you do the circumcision, which teaches us. It's only if at the time of the birth, the yolda zacher, when she gave birth, you saw there was a male, then you do the bris milah on the eighth day. But meaning to be deicha Shabbos. However, if on the time of the birth, even if let's say a day later, you found that he's a male, but at the moment of birth it wasn't clear, then you're not going to do the bris milah on the eighth day if it's going to be overriding the halacha of Shabbos. Rav Shravi Amri says another halacha regarding this individual. Af ein imay tmei leida. Also, his mother does not have the specific tuma that comes to a woman that gives birth. Which, if a child that's born a male, the mother is usually tummy for 7 days. Now, regarding this individual, that he's a tumtum when he was born, it wasn't clear what gender he was. If later on it's torn and found out that he's a male, his mother's not going to have to sit for 7 days in this tumma. And neither is she going to have to sit for 14 days, which is the halacha, if it would be a female, if we ultimately find out that this tumtum is really a female. Why? Because the Amakar, the pasuk says, Isha ki sazriya b'yolda zachar, a woman emits seed, and then she conceives and she gives birth to a male. The pasuk says, v'tama shivas yam, so she's tummy for 7 days. Which teaches us, as we said before regarding the drasha of Bris Milah, so too over here, it's starting from the same pasuk in Parashat Azriya, Achihei Zachar Mishas Leida, until he's a male from the moment of birth. Which the same thing would apply where it says Vim Nekeva Tela, that if she gives birth to a female, Butamay Shavah Ayim, then she has to be tummy for 14 days. That's again only if at the moment of birth you could tell if it's a male or female. Here, where you couldn't tell either one, there's no tumma at all of Tumas Leida. Which this term of Leida is a woman automatically, even if she doesn't see any blood, which are different halacha of Nida and Zava, just by giving birth, by that virtue, there's a certain tumma, a certain loss of life that she was carrying, which is where all tumma comes from, that she gets here in this tumtum, doesn't qualify for any tumma, she's not going to have any tumma. Now, on this halacha of Rav Shravya, the Gemara asks, Meisvei from the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. The Mishnah says, Hamapelas tumtum, if someone miscarries, has a loss of a fetus that's a tumtum, which is, as long as the skin has not been torn, there's a doubt, it's not clear if that child that's lost is a male or female, or vandragonis, or a fetus that had both the gender of male and female. So says the Mishnah, teishev lezachar, so she has to sit for and only have the days of tahara of a male, Well, the nekeva, actually, you have the days of tuma of a nekeva. With halach is that correlating to male and female, there's different days of what's called tumas leida, and then actually afterwards you meet taru, even if there's blood, it's going to be tar. With for the male, it's 7 days of tuma, because there's much less of a loss of a potential as it is by a female who she herself could actually have children. So there's 7 days of tuma, and then till day 40, there's going to be yimei tahara, which is after that point, any blood she actually sees is not even going to make her tummy, which generally it does. By female, when she gives birth to a girl, then for 14 days, there's going to be tuma, and then the yimei tahara, where any blood she sees actually can be tar, is till day 80. So that's the Mishnah here, where she gave birth to a had a loss of a tum to mandraginess, and we're not clear, therefore, what that is, that a male or female. So this woman has to have the stringency of both. She has to be tameh for the 14 days from the moment that she gave birth, because again, even though she doesn't see dam, maybe that this was a nekeva. But then, from after those 14 days, to what's going to be considered yimei tahara, we have to be stringent and say that whatever blood she does see is only going to be tar up till day 40, which actually is 33 days of yimei tahara of a zachar, because she's losing 7 days, which is usually from the 40 days, because by a male, you usually have 7 days of tumah, and then the next 40 days are tar. Here you have to sit another 7 days out of doubt, because maybe it's a female, which was for 14 days. So therefore, when we say the 40 days of the zachar, it's really going to be 33 days of the mitar of a zachar, because we don't know. So you have to take the stringencies of both. But either way, ask the Gemara, that Tiyufta Rav Shravya Tiyufta, this seems to be a refutation of the opinion of Rav Shravya, because he held that totally there is no tumah of Leda, not to have the tumah of Leda, not to have the tahara of Leda, which is in a way a leniency, which then any blood she sees after that is going to be tar. You don't have any of that by tumtum. It doesn't qualify for the pasuk of Isha Ki Sazri B'yol DeZachar, or that she gives birth to Nekeva, because there wasn't either one at the time. And yet here we see clearly from this Mishnah Masechtas Nida that we do give the tumtum a qualification of tumah and taharas Leda, that we just don't know which one. So we give the stringency of Zachar Nekeva, but it's not like Rav Shravi who said that there is no tumah and taharas Leda at all. So then the Gemara continues and asks that based on that same logic, Lematab Tiyufta Rav Shizvi. Should we say that this is also going to be a refutation of the previous interpretation of Rav Shizvi, who he also expounded those same words of the beginning of Parshas Tazria. He just expounded it for a later pasuk regards to halacha of circumcision, that again, it has to be a definite zachar from the moment of birth. It would seem to then indicate that he would hold the same thing would be regarding tumas leida, which is based on this, on that same pasuk of isha ki sazriya v'yal de zachar. Now, therefore, that would seem to be contradicted by this Tana, who considers the child a zachar regarding tumas leida, as the Tana of the Mishnah says, teishav lezachar, that the mother has to sit stringently for the Yimei Tahara of a Zachar and the Yimei Tumah of Nekeva, but that it does consider it as a Zachar, which seems to be clearly not like Rav Shizvi too, who would seem to indicate that it's not considered a Zachar and to be even viable for Tumas Leida at all. So the Gemara says no. The Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, Safuki Mesafkele, he was in doubt. These words in the Torah in the beginning of Parashat Tazria that says, V'yol de Zachar, do we need it to tell us that it has to be a Zachar clearly from the moment of birth? Which then, yes, it would be pertinent regarding the halachas of Tumas Leida and regarding circumcision. And since he doesn't know, he goes Uluchurma. He goes stringently to give the halacha of this Tumtum Shenikra, which is later found out to be a Zachar, to have the stringencies of a male. Because maybe we do not expound the pasuk b'yol d'zachar like that, that it has to be a definite zachar from the moment of birth, but rather, like we say, Masech, this need the daf lamed alef and alef for a different drasha, which is isha ki sazria, meaning when the woman is the one who emits the seed first before the male, then b'yol d'zachar, then she'll have a male, whereas if the man emits seed first, then they have a female. Which therefore the pasuk is not being used to darshan that b'yol d'zachar, that has to be male at the moment of birth. Now, Rav Shizvi was also saying his halacha as a stringency, because he had the same suffix as the time of the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, where the tumtum, although we know now on day 4, let's say, before the Bris Milah that it's a male, it's not going to be Deicha Shabbos, because maybe we do darshan b'yol d'zachar, that it has to be zachar from the moment of birth. So he's exactly the same like the Tana, they're just both saying polar stringencies. Rav Shravi, on the other hand, who he was making a drasha lukula as a leniency, because he was exempting this tumtum from having his mother have any tumas leda whatsoever, because if it wasn't obvious to him, then he wouldn't have expounded as a leniency. So therefore, according to him, the Mishnah is going to be refutation, but for Rav Shizvi, it's not going to be a refutation. Now, however, on the Gemara's answer, where it was saying that according to Rav Shizvi, it's not a refutation because it's a suffix, on that, as the Gemara, if that's the case, that it was a suffix, it was in doubt regarding this tumtum that only later tore the skin and was found out to be a male, where you're explaining for the Tanda Mishnah Masech this need that he was in doubt if the mother's going to have tumas later or not. But if that's the case, then why does the Tanda the Mishnah say over there that we give a limited amount to be made Tahara, not the extended one of the Keva for 80 days? We're not sure, it might have been a male, so we give only the made Tahara of a male, as it says that the mother has to sit for a Zachar and the Keva, which are the stringencies of both, which is only the made Tahara of a Zachar, and it has the stringency of the made Tumah of the Keva, where it's going to have to sit for the mother for 14 days of Tumah, not just 7 days of the male. But, however, if it's found out that the child is torn later, and then we see that it's a male, so then the question is that maybe that's what we said, it's a suffix, how to darshan the words v'yolda zachar. Maybe we should expound v'yolda zachar, that it should totally purify the mother from any din of tumas leida, whether for having you made tumah or you having made tara at all, because as we said, that maybe v'yolda zachar is telling us it has to be zachar mishas leida. So then the question is, why do we give any made tahara at all? It might not be viable at anything because it wasn't a definite Zachar or a definite Nekeva at the time of the birth. And well, because based on the Gemara's answer, if it was like we originally assumed that the Tanna, the Mishnah held that we don't make the drasha at all, so we understand. But you said that no, it's a suffix and it was only going stringency. You mean to say maybe that there is such an option? If that's the case, then the Tanna, the Mishnah should have said, Teshev la Zachar ul Nekeva ul Nidemi Baile. It should have said that it should have to sit for the, maybe it's a female, which it'll have you made tuma of a female of 14 days, which is even without seeing blood, because maybe it's a female. But moreover, you should have to qualify it as a nida, meaning immediately after those 14 days, if she will see blood, then out of doubt, she should have tumas nida, because maybe this tumtum is a male. And we do darshan, maybe, that's what we said, we're not sure, that it has to be male from the moment of birth, which means to say that if it wasn't a male at the moment of birth because it was a tumtum, then it doesn't have the whole halachas of leida at all, which, yeah, it doesn't have the tumah, but neither does it have the tahara too. So if it sees blood during those 40 days, it will become nida. And that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says it will have you made tahara, just a limited one of zachar, but why? You're saying it's a suffix, how to darshan it? You might darshan that it has to be definite zachar, which, if it is, then there's no yumei tahara at all. Now, the Rashbam brings that in Masechet Nida, the Gemara asks, why would it have to mention Zachar at all? In other words, wherever you're saying that the mother has to sit in case the child it was a female, and the possibility that she's actually a Nida, menstruating woman, because there's no yumei tahara at all, so why do you have to mention the stringency of being like a male? What does that add at all? If it's to give the yumei tumah of a male child, you're already saying you have to sit like a female, which is 14 days, which already includes the 7 of a male. And if it's to give the yumei tahara of a zachar, which is limiting it only for 40 days, not for 80 days like a female, but you're already saying that you have to suspect that maybe she's a nida, which sounds like you don't give yumei tahara at all. And that the Gemara there answers that the difference would be in the case of where she saw on day 34 after her birth, and then she saw again day 41. Which now would totally ruin her whole counting. Why? Because maybe, that's what we said, maybe there's no yumei tahara at all. Because maybe, since it wasn't a definite zachar or definite nekeva, so you don't have a yolda. It doesn't have that at the moment of birth, it was definitely zachar nekeva. Which that would mean that when she saw on day 34, she was a nida. Because, you know, like a regular woman who sees blood becomes nida. She doesn't have the yumei tahara option of a yoledes. Now, on day 41, that would be the beginning of Yumei Ziva, which is after the 7-day period of Nida. After that period, any blood for the next 11 days have a halacha of Ziva, which the halacha is, if she then sees 3 consecutive days in a row, she has to actually have what's called the Shiva Nikim, which although all our women do Shiva Nikim, it's a stringency, really it's only by Yumei Zava, which 7 clean days and have to bring a carbon. Or maybe, like we said, that no, the Yolda Zachar does not tell you it has to be a definite, that just it tells you that if a woman emits seed first, then she gives birth to a Zachar. In that case, then day 34 would be Yemei Tahar, because it's still within 40 days of any child, which the least amount is 40 days. Now on day 41, that would be the beginning of the Nida. So that would come out that this woman, since we are calculating in the factor of also that maybe there's the male child over here, which that you do sit for. So then you have a suffix, Zava and Nida, until she has actually 17 clean days, as the Gemara in Erech and Daf Ches Amud Aleph goes through this calculation. Now, if she had 17 clean days, and then on the 18th day she sees Dam, that's the beginning of her Nida period, which the halacha would be, then if she sees throughout these 7 days, or even if she only sees one time, the halacha is, it doesn't make a difference, she goes to the mikvah on the night of the 8th day, then she could have Tashmash with her husband. Then, for after those 7 days, then comes what's called the 11 days of Imei Ziva, where if she sees then in the beginning or in the middle or the end of those 11 days, 3 consecutive days, then she becomes a Zava Gedayla, which she would need 7 clean days to not see any blood and to have to bring a carbon. And then she never returns back to be the beginning of Nida until after 7 clean days. And then if she doesn't see in those 11 days, then it's by day 12, that's the beginning of Nida, like all the halachas. And those are the 11 days which we know are called Imei Ziva between Nida and Nida. So that's what the Gemara in Nida explains, why it was important to even say the factor of Zachar. But one thing the Gemara is asking is, but if it's the way you're explaining, then the Tanna of the Mishnah Masechtas Nida should not have said Teisha L'Zachar Nekeva, should have said Teisha L'Zachar Nekeva Ulanida, because maybe there is no Yimei Tara at all, and she becomes a Nida, because maybe the other Zachar is such a Drasha. You're saying that it says not as a stringency, but maybe a stringency the other way too. Says the Gemara Kasha, it's a difficulty, it's not a refutation, because there is a word missing from the Mishnah, and you could say, like the Gemara many times answers, Tani, that you should read it, Lezachar Ulnekeva, and for Anida, because as we said, that there is, the Tana is Mesopic, and it's just going for stringently, but it's a difficulty, why doesn't it say the word Ulanida? Amar Rava, he says, Tani Kavaseh de Rabami. So we had said all these different things that this Tumtum, who only later was verified to be a male, are exceptions in certain halachas. So going back to the original one, Rava says we have a brisa supporting Rav Ami who said that if this Tumtum is the firstborn child, he does not take a double portion as a Bechar. Because the Pasuk in Devarim says, V'haya ha-ben, it says that regarding this son who is the firstborn child, it's so the word ben sounds like that it has to be a ben from the time, as we said, of the Leda, V'haya, from Mishas HaVayosef, from the time that he's born. Says the brisa, "Vole tumtum." That excludes the tumtum, even though later it was torn and that's that covering skin. We find that there is a male; he's excluded from having the halacha of a bechor. But then it says that this ben is a habechor, the bechor, the firstborn. What's that coming to exclude? Says the brisa, "Vole safik," but not a doubtful firstborn. He does not take a double portion. So the Gemara asks on the brisa, "Bishlam ben vole tumtum." We understand the word "bahaya haben," that if this child will be this son, is coming to exclude a tumtum. That's because Rabbami, like Rabbami had said, we're a tumtum that then later on it was revealed, even though we know he's a zachar, but it wasn't known at the time of the birth, he's not going to take a double portion. What is the halacha when it says the word habachar, the firstborn, but not a doubtful one coming to exclude? If you would say it's excluding a doubtful bachar, well, that's obviously would not take the double portion of the bachar unless he brings proof that he's bachar. Because I'm going to make a barrel of a raya. He wants to go ahead and take money away from the other brothers. How do we know that? So now the Gemara answers, Lafuki mid the Darish Rava. So it's actually coming to exclude that Rava had expounded from logic that the following case, the Bechor, should have a double portion. And that's what the Gemara says, that's what the Brais is bringing this Pasuk, HaBechor, to exclude that case, that since ultimately it's a doubtful situation, that they will not take a double portion. What's this halacha? The Darish Rava, Rava had expounded the following halacha. He said, Shtei Nashim, if one man has two wives, Sheyoldu Be'Zachar and Be'Machava, that they gave birth, both of them, to a son in a cave, in the hidden place, where it was dark, and you couldn't tell which woman gave birth first to be qualified as Reisha Sainai, as the first seed of the father, to be the Bechor for the Nachla. So that says Rava, so Kaisv and Harsha, Zelazet. What they could do is they could write a permission slip one to the other, which that would allow one of these two brothers now to go to the other brothers and claim the double portion of the Bechor. Because he tells him as follows, he goes, look, if I'm the firstborn, give it to me because I'm the firstborn. And if I'm not, give it to me because of my brother, because he gave me, he permitted me to go ahead and take his portion. Because as the Gemara had told us in the previous daf, yesh le Bechor kain chaluka, the Bechor has his rights even before the inheritance is divided, and he could sell and to give his portion of the Bechor to whoever he wants to, and here he's going to give it to the other brother, and then they'll divide amongst themselves. And that says the Gemara, that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude, because although based on logic, Rav is saying, yes, they do get it. We don't know which one it is, but it's definitely one of these two. And then they could go ahead and divide amongst the two of themselves. That's what the Gezeiras HaKasav is saying, that no, you don't give the portion of Bechari to either one of them, because each one of them is a Safek, and it has to be a definite Bechari, not a Safek Bechari. No. The Gemara actually explains that Amalei Rapapa LaRava, that the Gemara actually follows through. So the Gemara was saying that this Bryce's drush was coming to exclude from what Rava had said based on logic. So the Gemara shows that Amalei Rapapa LaRava, Rapapa said to Rava after he had that drasha, and he had said that, yeah, these brothers could share it amongst themselves, just let one write a permission slip to the other one. Rapapa asked to Rava, but Vashalach Rava, and Rava had sent the following halacha, that Dabizir Sha'alti L'Chalar Baisai, that Rava had said that this idea I asked all my teachers, V'loi Amrli Dava, and they didn't tell me anything, but Baram Kach Amrim Shem Rabbiani, but however, this is what they said over the name of Rabbiani. Hukru, if they were recognizable at the moment of birth, which one was the firstborn? Ula B'Saif Nis'arvu, and then later on they got mixed up, now no one could tell anymore which one was the firstborn and which one was not. But there was one moment which was definite, which one was the firstborn. Then Rabbi Yannai said, Kaisav and Harsha Azelazah. Then they could write permission one to the other that one of them could collect for the two of them, and then they could split amongst themselves. But Loihokru, if they were not recognizable, not like you, Rabbi said, then in Kaisav and Harsha Azelazah, then they could not go ahead and write a permission slip one to the other. And that's like what we had said previously in the Gemara, that the Pasuk was coming to exclude only what was the most excludable, meaning which was not recognizable at all, which, because even at the time of birth, it was a suffix. Because that's what the pasuk sounds like when it said, V'hoya ha-ben ha-bechari, that's going to be the son that's the firstborn, meaning that he was a son at the time of Avaya, meaning at the time of when he was born, and not a tumtum, where he has to be bechari mishas Avaya, and not a doubtful bechari. Which from here we learn, that's the halacha, that if, however, they were recognizable, and only later on got mixed up, then you could write a harsha. So, Rabbi, you that you're saying that they could do harsha, he says, we heard from Rabbi Yannai, that's not the case. That's only if they were recognizable. But if they weren't, which was from the inception they were a suffix, then neither of them gets the portion of the Bukhar. On that says the Gemara, Hada uki Rava amayra lebedar. So, Rabbi then later on went back to the pulpit and he got his speaker who would say what he's saying to the masses, and he expounded as follows. Dvarm shamart lechem, the words that I had told you and I had previously darshaned about, toys hein b'yadi, they were an error in my hand. Barach kach omr mishum Rabbiani, however, this is what they say over the name of Rabbiani. It's only hukru l'b'seif nis'arvu, if they originally knew who was the firstborn, and then later on they got mixed up, then kaysven harshah zelazeh, then because there was a definite bachar, now we just don't know, then he could write a permission one to the other. Loi hukru, but if they were not recognizable in kaysven harshah zelazeh, then they cannot write, that's the bachar is coming to exclude from a suffix. If we didn't know who it is, then even though we know it's one of these two, still they cannot go ahead and collect it, none of them guess the double portion of the Bukhar. Now, continuing on this topic of the assumption of the Bukhar, which from the previous daf from our Mishnah regarding the father saying that this is my firstborn child, who could believe to say if he's a firstborn or not? So, Sholchalei b'nei Akra de'agma l'shmul. So, the people of Akra de'agma had sent the following question to Shmuel. Yilamdeinu rambeinu, let our teacher teach us. Hayimuchzakin b'zeshu b'char. Let's say it was presumed regarding this individual that he was the firstborn. As Rashbam explains, not through witnesses who testify that we know that he was born before his brothers, because if that would be the case, then the whole case that's being described would be moot, because of course a father would not be believed to contradict witnesses. It just means that the word on the street is like that, what's like we said in the previous daf, karele bukhar, meaning people had always assumed that he was the firstborn, but there was no witnesses who testified that. But then va'amar avival acher, but then the father came along and he said regarding one of the other sons, that bachar hu, that son is the firstborn. Ma, what's halacha? Do we believe the father in contradiction of a chazaka, presumption, because that's what it was always assumed, which is contradicting what he's saying, or do we not believe him? So shalach lehu, so Shmuel sent back to them, what you do in this situation is, kaysav and harsha, they write a permission as a ketintam and beis, zeh, the one who was always assumed to be the firstborn, with that who now the father says, the other one who is the firstborn. As the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning why Shmuel went in passing like that, which the Gemara asks, Manavshach. Either way, how do we understand, how did Shmuel hold? Ik Rabban Svirlei, if he held like the Rabbanan that we're shogun to quote these Rabbanan, Lishlech Luhuk Rabbanan, should have sent them like the Rabbanan. and Ikra Behuda Svirle, and if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, who the Gemara is going to shortly quote, then Lishlach Luke Rabbi Yehuda, then they should have sent him like Rabbi Yehuda. Which one? Is the father believed or is the father not believed? What is this that you're going half and half, saying, okay, let them split it, let them give a permission one to the other and collect from the brothers and then divide it? Says the Gemara, Misafkele Ikra Behuda, Ikra Rabbanan. Shmuel was in doubt who the halacha is like, if it's like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbanan, and therefore they have to divide it. As the Gemara explains, Mahi, what's this Malchik is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan? So the Gemara, the Tanakh, Lindor Braisa, the Pasuk Devarim that talks about in Perich of Aleph Pasuk Yizayin regarding the portion of the firstborn, it says, Ki Asa Bachar Ben Asnua, if there's going to be the firstborn is the son of the hated wife, says the Pasuk Yakir, so the father should recognize him, losses like Pishnaim, to give him a double portion, Mechalashi Motzle, whatever he has, Kihu Reisha Sainayla, because he's the first of his strength, he's his firstborn, that's the law of Mishpat HaBachar. So, says the first opinion, which is that of Rabbi Huda, the word Yakir is superfluous. What's it coming to teach us? Rather, Yakirenu Lachem, Rabbi Huda says, it's coming to teach us that he could make this child recognizable to others to inform them that he is the firstborn. Which Mekan and Rabbi Huda, from here, as Rabbi Huda says, Neman Adam Leimer, a person is believed to say, even if up until now we had assumed a different son was the firstborn, that Zeb ben Ibuchar, know that this is my firstborn son. And moreover, says Rabbi Huda, just like he's believed to say, this is my firstborn son, he's also believed to say that this is the son that I married a divorcee or a woman that already had chalitza danta. Either it means that after I had divorced her, I had remarried her, and from that union I had this child, or that I married a divorcee, which that makes the child, if the father is a kayin, into a chal, which is a kayin that has a lower status of kahuna, which this is logical from the fact that it says yakir, meaning this, that Rabbi Yehuda is extending it, is that he could make the child recognizable and he could testify regarding the child's status, where what's the difference if he's saying he's the firstborn or if he's saying if it's something else, which is even for a ben gerusha ben chalutza. Now, actually, ben chalutza would only make a rabbinic chalul, whereas a chalut, and the reason for that is because we concern that chalitza is somewhat like gerushin, where although there's no biblical prohibition for a kohen to marry a chalutza, but rabbinically there is. Where although the Gemara in Yevamos actually learns it out from Ve'isha Grusha, the Gemara there explains that's only an asmach to be'ama, it's only an illusion, but it's only a rabbinic. But he's believed to say that this child not only is a bachar, but he's also a ben gerusha ben chalutza. Now that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Chacham aimrim ein neman. Chacham say no, he's not believed, not to say the child's a firstborn, not to say the child is a chalul. Where, for example, if let's say there is a chazaka that a different child was the Bukhar. Now, but that was the machloikis that Rabbi Yehuda had Rabbanan, and that's what, is the father believed or is he not? That Shmuel didn't know, and therefore he says, I don't know if the father is believed to say, in contrast to the other one, so it's a suffix, so let them go ahead and write harsho into the other and split it. Now, Amalei Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak the Rava, he asked, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Hayin Dechsev Yaakov, we know what to do with the superfluous word over here of Yakir, where it's teaching where he's believed even Kenegede Chazaka, the father is believed to say that no, that child that everyone assumed was the firstborn is not. It's this son. But El Rabban, Yakir Lamali, but what did the Rabbanan do with Yakir? They don't believe the father in contrast to the Chazaka. So what is the word Yakir coming to teach us? It seems to be an extra word. So that the Gemara answers, Bitzarach Hakeira. Now the father is believed in certain situations. For example, if this is the first time this family came into this town, and there was no original presumption at all or assumption which one is the first one and which one is the regular. There, says the Gemara, even the Rabban would agree that the father is believed. It's only that we don't believe him when there's a chazaka otherwise, when the word was already out that a different son was, that's where the Rabban disagreed with Yehuda, but they do agree that Yakir teaches when we have no assumption, then the father is believed. Now, the Gemara now asks on the opinion of the Rabban, who they said that, okay, so what do you need Yakir for when we don't know any which one son is the firstborn? So on that, say the Rabban, okay, that's when the father's believed. On that, asked the Gemara, Lamai Helchasa. So what halacha is that actually coming to teach us? In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pasuk's teaching us a lot. It's telling us that we believe the father, even if it's in contradiction to a chazaka, where we're going to give this child, who he's claiming is the firstborn, and not the other one that we always thought, the double portion. Because we would have thought to say that you go after the chazaka and that you would give the double portion to the one that we already always had assumed is the bechar. And the reason for that is because you would think that you cannot say that the father has a migui to be believed, because had I wanted to, says the father, I could have given a gift to this child who I'm saying is the bechar, a double portion. So when I say he's the bechar, you should believe me, Because we wouldn't say that there's a mikveh. We would say that no, like just like we say malu l'shaka bokum edim lo yamrina, we don't say a mikveh of why should I lie? I could have done this anyway when it's contradicted by witnesses. So here where it's contradicted by chazaka, we would think that we don't believe the father. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying a big chiddush and saying that no, Yaakov is teaching you that we do believe him. But according to Rabbanan, for what halacha is the Torah saying Yaakov in a case of when we say tzar chakir, when we don't know anything about the family, that the father is believed to be makir lachem, to tell us that he is the firstborn, that if it's lemeis v'loy pishnayim, if it's to give this child, which one would think that's the purpose of it, to give him a double portion, and that the Gemara's question is, why do we need a pasuk for that? It's logical to believe the father based on the migui. Why? Because lo yehei, let not this child who he's claiming is the firstborn be ela acher. Let him be at most even, let's say he was a totally foreign person. And still, ilo b'ayla meisvali b'matan, if the father had wanted to give him all his properties as a gift, milo yovle, would he not be able to give it to him? And therefore, there is a migui of ma'al l'shaka. Why should I lie, says the father, when I'm saying he's a bachar? Even besides this, of course I could have given him a double portion. I could have given him everything. So believe me when I say that he's the Bukhar when I want to give him, because or else I could have just gifted it all to him. So why do we need a pasuk to say that he's believed? Says the Gemara, loyd tzricha, no, we need it. The pasuk is necessary to say we believe the father only in a situation when there are certain properties which he could not have given him at that moment when he's saying that he's the Bukhar. You're right. If he could give it to him right now, he's saying, I'm saying he's the firstborn. You don't believe me? I could give him a gift right now, so believe me anyway. You're right. For that, we wouldn't need a pasuk for. But there are certain situations when he wants you to believe him that this son is a firstborn that he could not have gifted him. What's that case? For example, regarding properties that he's only going to inherit at a later point in time, after that he already had made the declaration that this is my firstborn son. With that, you can't say at the time that he made that declaration that you should believe him for those assets based on the migui, because a person cannot mimaknadav shleibel oilam. He cannot give over as a gift those things that he didn't get yet. It's for those situations that we say based on Yaakov that even what's going to come later is already we believe him because he's believed to say that this is my firstborn son, where there is no migui. But the Gemara asks, that answer only works for certain Tanoim. But l'remeir kondre meir, because actually as Rashbam points out, the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yehuda, who that's the Rabbanan disputing Rabbi Yehuda, is usually remeir. Kondre meir da'ama adam maknadav shleibel oilam, but he actually says that a person could gift over something even though it didn't come yet into the world, where a mayor says this in the context of when someone says to a woman, I want you to be engaged to me on the condition when you become a Jewess, where that's not, how could you do a condition when she's not even Jewish yet? Because you could be maknadav shleibel oilam. So then the question is back, yakor lamali, what do you need yakor for? The Gemara answered, you need it for something that he doesn't have yet. But he may hold even something that he doesn't have yet, he could be makna. So what do you need Yaakov for? You have the migui that, of course, I should be believed. I don't need a pasuk. I have a migui. Says the Gemara, you need it, even the contrary may have been a chasim shenaf lekeshu geises. You need it for certain properties, for certain items that he has only when he's in the throes of death. Because a Mishnah Masech Desmachis, in the beginning of the Masech, there teaches that a geises, someone that's in the throes of death, is considered like a living person for all practical purposes, meaning he's someone that could bequeath things. He's a bar yerusha. Now, it's for those properties that you need the pasuk of Yaakov to tell us that the bechor, that he's claiming is the bechor, is going to take a double portion. Because regarding those properties, he does not have a migui. Because even the contrary mayor that says a person can be makna davish label oilam, he can give over something that's not even here yet. That's told by, for example, certain items that at least it came to him at a time when he had the ability to give it to others. That you say, even though he doesn't have it, but since he has the kayach, he has the ability, so then you'll say that it's going to be considered that he's makna tim. But a guy says he can't talk, he doesn't have the ability to even give it over to someone else. Oh, so therefore, he wouldn't be able to makna it before it comes to his hand. Because even when it is by him, he cannot be maknet for sure before it even comes. And moreover, it can't be explained to talk about that it's after the father's death, because the bechor doesn't take a double portion, which is what's called bero, what's going to come afterwards. So therefore, these properties that he gets when he's a geisis, those properties, how is that son going to be able to get it? Even if the father had it, we're saying that he says now, whatever he has now, he's not a geisis, he's saying now. So, believe me, because I could gift it. And I could even give things that I don't have. Yes, but the things that you're going to get at a time when there are geisis, that son, which you're claiming is the firstborn son, based on the migu, will not get it. Why? Because even when, if for sure, because he's getting it when you didn't even have it, and you could, based on the migui, but even when you had it and you wanted to give it to him, you wouldn't be able to give it to him. And therefore, in that situation, it would only be able to work that he would get it if he's actually the Bechar, but we don't know. It would be only based on the migui. For that, we need the Pasig Yakar to say that even what the father inherits at a time when he's a Geisis, which would not work through a migui, those things, he would get a double portion because the fathers believe, that's what the Rabbanan say, based on the word of Yakar, which is Yakir and Allah Chayim. Continuing on these halachas, Traban Linda Braisa. If there was a certain child that was always presumed that he was the firstborn, and then the father says, no, we're getting a different child that he's the firstborn. Says the Braisa, Neman. So the father's believed, which is like Rabbi Huda, who he said the father is believed, even opposite of Chazaka. Continues the Braisa. If there was a certain child that we had always assumed is not the firstborn, and then the father says he is the firstborn, so the Braisa, he's not believed, like Rabbanan, where since it's contradicting by a chazaka, we don't believe the father. Says the Gemara, not in a question way, but more in a matter-of-fact way, and this Braisa, it's obviously a mixture of two different Tanoic opinions which contradict each other, that the Reisha is like Rabbi Huda, that we do believe the father, and the Sefer is like Rabbanan, that we don't believe the father, which is when it's connected to chazaka. Continuing on this topic regarding the belief of a father regarding who is the identity of this person, in this context his child, Amar B'Yechanan. Amar B'Nihu. If he says, this is my son, V'chazva Amar Avdihu, and then he later says that, no, this is my slave, whether it be what's called B'Teichidei Dibur, which is the time frame a person usually could retract, or whether it's even after a later point in time, if he says regarding this one that I originally had said, that he's my son, now I'm retracting, I'm saying, no, he's actually my slave, he's not believed what he's saying now, that he's my slave. In other words, the chiddush in that is that you cannot say, no, he was always my slave. This I originally said that he's my son is because I love him like my son. And that the Bryce is saying that no, it's not normal for a person to call his slave his son. And therefore we go based on his first claim that he had made, because since this last thing that he's saying is not explaining the first thing that he said, rather, it's clearly contradicting. So then we don't go after the last thing that he said, because the first thing that he admitted to, the Torah believes him with what he says, that he's my son. As we said, because the Pasuk says, Yaakov, we believe the father. So what's called Kivin Shehigit, Shubin Chayzer Magid, once the person said testimony that he's my son, he's not believed not to go ahead and contradict the first testimony that he said and to say, no, he's really my slave, I just loved him like a son, he's not believed. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion, continuing on this theme about a father being believed regarding this person, where in this context is talking about his son. So Amar B'Yechanan, and he says, Amar B'Nihu, regarding that individual, he says, oh, he's my son. V'chazva Amar Avdihu, and then he goes and he later says that, oh, he's my slave. Which obviously there's different halachas regarding if this person is his child or his slave. Now, whether this is what's called Teichidei Dibur, which is the 2 or 3 seconds, which is usually a halacha that you could retract what you had said, or whether even at a later point in time, he says that this individual that I originally said was my son, it's not really true, he's really my slave, says Rabbi Yechanan Einei Neman. He's not believed with what he's saying now, that he's my slave. And the chiddush in that is that you can't say that, oh, the reason why I originally called him my son was not because he's my son, because I love him like a son. No, that Rabbi Yechanan says, no, it's not normal to call a slave my son. And therefore, we go based on the first claim that he made, because since this last claim that he's making, which that he's a slave, is not explaining the first thing that he said, it's rather contradicting, so we don't go after the last claim that he's making, because the first thing that he said, which was his own admission, that the Torah says that a person believed to say that this is my son, as we just said in the previous Gemara, based on the Pasuk Yakir, so like the halacha is, Kivin Shehigid Shuvein Achayzer Magid. Once you say your testimony, which this is, we believe you that you're saying this is your son, then you can't go ahead and contradict your first testimony by now saying that, no, he's not my son, rather he's my slave. But continues Rabbi Yechanan, let's say the opposite. Let's say he first said, Avdihu, this is my slave. V'chazva Amar B'Nihu, and then later he says, he's my son. Then says Rabbi Yechanan, Neman. Then he is believed with what he's saying now, that he is my son, because that does not contradict the first thing that he said. Rather, it's explaining that this that I had said that he's my slave, no, he's really my son. So why did I say he's my slave? That's because the Mishamash Lika'avdekama, he was saying that he serves me like a servant. Now, in contrast that to the first halacha Rabbi Yechanan said, where you cannot say that it was explaining that, oh, really, this that I said is my son, really, he's my slave, like I'm saying now. So why did I originally call him my son? Because I love him like a son. That's Rabbi Yochanan saying that no, that's not normal for a master to talk about a slave like he's his son, no matter how much he loves him. And therefore, when he says son, then slave, we don't believe him. When he says slave, then son, then we do believe him. Now, says Rabbi Yochanan, v'chilufei abeis ameches. This halacha of when we believe him, when not, is exactly the exact opposite when it comes to by paying the tolls, by paying the taxes. There, it's normal to call one slave his son, because then you avoid taxes. For slaves, you have to pay taxes. For children, you don't have to. Therefore, however, the opposite is true. A person will never call his son his slave, because to the contrary, you're going to cause an unnecessary loss. You're going to end up paying taxes for one's own son. So as the Gemara explains, if he's passing through the tolls to pay taxes, the Amar Benihu, and he says, this is my son. He tells this to the toll collector, this is my son. And then later on, when he already passed from the taxes, he tells the people around, guys, it's not my son. He's my slave. Neman, he's believed with what he retracts and that he says he's my slave, because of course, this that originally said he's my son was only because he was afraid of the taxes. But Amar Avdihu, but if he said originally it's my slave, and then he says he's my son, then says the Gemara that ain't a neman. Of course he's not believed, most definitely it is his slave like he originally said, because if it was his son, then he for sure would not say he's my slave, which you're not even being honest, you're actually just causing yourself an unnecessary loss, and therefore we assume that the first thing that he said, that he's a slave, is going to be the truth, and that it's going to have the halacha like a slave, not like a son. Now, Meisri, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan, from the following brisa, from the seifa of the brisa. The Reisha first says, "Hoyimisham shekeben." If this individual was serving this person like a son, meaning he was doing all the halachas that a child has to do for a father, which is inherent in the mitzvah kibud avim, getting him dressed, putting on his shoes, helping him come in, helping him go out, but he wasn't serving him like a slave. Ubova amar benihu, and then this person says, "Oh, he's my son," which is an added chiddush. Because although he was serving him like a son, and you could say that the only reason why he called him like my son was because he was serving him like a son, even so, says the Braisa, when v'chazava amar avdihu, if he then later goes and says that he's my slave, einoy neman, he's not believed with what he says at the end. Rather, we go based on the first thing that he said, where most definitely he's his son, as we said before, because it's not normal, no matter what the circumstances, to call a slave one's son, even if he was serving him like a son, because there is no master that loves a slave that much to call him like his son. But, continues the Seif of the Brice, if he was serving him like a slave, he was doing like a slave, he's got to do much more than a son. And he says, look at my slave. And then later on he says, no, he's my son. Says the Braisa, einoy neman. He's not believed with what he says that he's my son. Where although that you could say that originally he called him my slave only because he was serving him like a slave, but not because he was really a slave. That's difficult to Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan said that if someone says he's my slave, and later on he says he's my son, that Rabbi Yochanan said that he is believed. Because Rabbi Yochanan was saying, even if we don't see him that he's serving him like a slave, still he said that he's believed what he later says that he's my son. For sure, in the case where we see explicitly that he was serving him like a slave, for sure that then we should believe when he later says he's my son. I was only saying that because he's serving me like a slave. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said even when we don't see that. Whereas in the Braisa, even where we see that he was serving him like a slave, still the Braisa says that we don't believe in what he later says that he's my son. For sure, it would contradict Rabbi Yochanan when we don't see him serving him like a slave, that for sure we wouldn't believe this person to say that he's my son, which contradicts Rabbi Yochanan, who says that this person is believed. So that Rabbi Nachum Yitzchak, he says, not difficult. Hasam, over there in the Braisa, is the Karule Avda Meitzar Meya. He didn't just call him my slave. If it's just calling him my slave, then it would be like Rabbi Yochanan that he is believed to say, oh, he just served him like a slave. But he was saying that this is a servant, this is a slave that has a boundary of 100. Meaning he's saying that this is a real full-fledged slave, that I can rely on him to get 100 dinar out of his boundary. In other words, that he's worth 100 dinar. Now, since he said that he's an Avdi Meitzar Meya, and then he says he's my son, there even Rabbi Yochanan would agree to the Braisa that he's not believed. Because if he was really his son, he wouldn't call him such a derogatory term of Avdi Meitzar Meya, even if he serves him like a slave, because all he would do would call him a slave, but he wouldn't call him a slave that is Meitzar Meya, which the Gemara explains, my Meitzar Meya, what does it mean that he's a slave that's a boundary of 100? It means Meitzar Avda Kuf Zuzi. It means that there's a boundary for the slave that I could get all the way up to 100 zuz. He's worth 100 zuz. That's something that's very slave-like That's derogatory. That a person would never call about a child. There Rabbi Yochanan agrees to the Braisa. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about just because he calls him, my servant, my slave, where that's just saying because he serves me like that. But when he later says he's my son, that could be a clarification, not a contradiction. And then we do believe him. It's just the other way around. When you first call him my son and then slave, no. You don't call a slave a son no matter what the circumstances is. You're not believed anymore to say he's your slave. He will have the halacha of being a son.